today is. Pardon? Change of time. That's true. It'll be forever remembered as the last or the first day that the Blue Jays played in November, and the tragic loss that they all experienced. But you know what? The sun came up today just the same as yesterday, and we move on. Today, since you don't know, I'm going to share with you what it is. Today's a special day for the Christian community. It's recognized all over the world as a day of prayer for the persecuted church. And so I decided actually to step away from our series on heaven for today and to acknowledge the challenges thousands, perhaps millions of Christians around the world face every day. I know that we've recognized the day of prayer before, but we really haven't spent a lot of time on it, and so I wanted to spend considerable time on it today before we move to our communion service. I want to begin with Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 28. And we do welcome those who would be watching our message online. We appreciate you being there and watching week to week. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 28, it says there a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin. Don't begin until you count the cost." And so today we want to begin by reflecting on this challenge from Jesus to count the cost. You can imagine that what he said in that day was considerable crowd thinner outer. I'm sure that as soon as he uttered those words, there were many of the people that were in the crowd that turned and went away. But today we want to share some experiences that people go through in various countries. We want to hear some testimonies from people who are living in persecution every day, and we want to pray with them and for them. Then we will examine some areas in the world where severe persecution exists on an ongoing basis, and then we will finally transition to our observance of the Lord's Supper. Lord, as we reflect on this, we are excited about what we hear happening in North America with a resurgence of interest in the gospel, in spiritual things, in the Word of God. But we are also troubled when we take time to see what's happening in other parts of the world where animosity toward Christians is ever present and even increasing. We want to be aware of these things so that they can touch our hearts and they can influence our prayer lists and how we pray and how we thank you for what we've been privileged to enjoy here in North America. So be with us, Lord, as we study together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to touch on two or three countries to let you know what things are like. Many of us here today made a decision when we were relatively young to accept Jesus as our Savior. How many people were saved before you were 12? Well, I would have thought more. before you were 20. A few more. Perhaps this happened in a Sunday school class, as was my case, a Youth for Christ event or a summer camp. Many opportunities, if you grew up in a Christian home, to hear the gospel, to respond to the gospel. We probably heard this teaching from Jesus that I just mentioned, just read about at one time or another, and then Satan would use the thoughts of persecution, or what we thought was perfect solution. There's a lot of detail in these descriptions of these offerings. We don't have time to get into all of that, but there are a couple things worth noting that pointed ahead to the time that the one would come. You probably noticed in each of those there were references to offerings or sacrifices that were made. They needed to be from an animal without blemish. It pointed forward to our Lord and Savior, who lived a perfect life, lived without sin, that he would be an accepted sacrifice in the throne room of glory to deal with our sin. The other thing that you'll notice as you read that is there was a lot of blood. Blood that was literally splattered on the altar in order to make atonement for your sin and my sin. There are a few verses describing the sin offering and scapegoats associated with it. It's found in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Aaron will represent his own bull as a sin offering to purify himself and his family, making them right with the Lord. And then he must take the two male goats and present them to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. He's to cast secret lots to determine which goat will be reserved as an offering to the Lord and which will carry the sins of the people to the wilderness of Azazel. Aaron will then present a sin offering as a sin offering, the goat chosen by the Lord, and the other goat, the scapegoat, chosen by lot to be sent away, will be kept alive standing before the Lord. And when it is sent away to the wilderness, the people will be purified and made right with the Lord. It's amazing how many sayings of our everyday language come from Scripture, even the Old Testament. This word, scapegoat, is still used in our language today. But what it's doing here is it's drawing a picture of the blood that needed to be shed, the perfect sacrifice, and the fact that our sins were to be taken away. Every sin taken away on the scapegoat. Amen. I may stumble on these lyrics. There's an old song that says, I came to Jesus weary, worn, and something, and he took my sins away. He took my sins away, took my sins away, and now I'm singing every day. Can you picture from the Old Testament what has been transpired in the New Testament? Have you got that picture of Jesus now? And you know, these sacrifices had to be listed on special occasions and mandatory year after year after year. Animal sacrificed after animal after animal after animal. The New Testament in various places has this wonderful phrase called once for all time. Once for all time. Appears in various places. That's the picture that we have of our communion service today, is that he came once for all time. No more sacrifices. It pointed forward hundreds of years to Isaiah's prophecy. Remember Isaiah chapter 53? All we like sheep have strayed away, and we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, laid on Jesus as our scapegoat, the sins of us all. I'm going to ask Janice to come now and lead us in our first song.